From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In the current message, he's dealing with the inspiration of the Bible. The text is Ephesians chapter 6, the latter part of verse 17, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. According to both the Old and New Testaments, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Dr. Cairns has been showing that the existence of the sword of the Spirit is divine. Because of that, the excellencies of the Bible surpass those of any literature created by human hands. As he brings this message to a conclusion, Dr. Cairns emphasizes that the exercise of this sword is in the hands of the Holy Spirit, for it is the Spirit's work to apply the Word of God effectually to hearts and minds. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, he takes time to answer a question which is a dilemma for many people. Why does a good God allow suffering? This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Well, this has been a question that has arisen again and again. I've seen it put this way. And people answer it, of course, in a whole lot of different ways, without usually going to the Bible, by the way. But they will say, well, if God is all good and He has all power, then why does He allow suffering? So either He's not all good and He loves to see people suffer, or if He's all good, He doesn't have all power, He's only got a certain amount of power. In other words, God is not the great transcendent omnipotent God that Christianity proclaims Him to be. Seems to be an awful dilemma. The reality is, of course, that it's a dilemma only because the people who frame the question have framed it in such a way as to supply their own answer. God is good, but God's goodness is not, let me emphasize this, God's goodness is not to be defined according to man's notions of goodness. God's goodness is a just and holy goodness. God's altogether a holy God. Isaiah the prophet speaks of Him. He quotes the words of Jehovah Himself, I am the high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Holy. Holy and just. Why is that left out of the equation when people ask this question? You see, as the question is framed, it presupposes that the sin of mankind should go unpunished. Now, understand what I'm saying. I am not saying that every sickness and every pain is the result of an immediately preceding sin. In other words, I'm not saying you're sick because of something you have just done or did a year ago or 5 years ago. But I am saying that all sickness and suffering and evil in the world is because mankind fell in Adam. Man is a sinner. Sin is a reality. Sin is an offense against a holy God. And as God told our first parents right at the very beginning, sin is a deadly force. In the day you do that, you'll die. And that death is a death that comprehends or includes all of the suffering and all of the pain and all the evil that this world has ever seen. So the real question is, and the biblical way of putting the question would be, has God done anything to deal with the root cause of all the suffering? And the answer, of course, is he has. He sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He sent him for sin. He sent him to deal with sin. And that's what he did in his life, death, and resurrection. Jesus Christ has dealt with sin. He saves sinners from their sin. He has even guaranteed the immortality and the sinless glorification of our bodies. That part of his work in its application to us, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 23, awaits the day of redemption, the day of his return, when the resurrection of the body will take place and the glorification of the body, body and soul united in one perfect sinless being. That will take place then. He has dealt with sin. We are in a suffering world because we are in a world that is scarred by sin. That's the real reason. It's not a question of pitting the goodness against the power of God. Let us keep in mind the holy justice of God and the wickedness of sin. If we only see the holiness of God and the sinfulness of sin, we will have no difficulty understanding why there's evil and suffering in the world. We will be amazed that God in grace has provided salvation for sinners. We will be amazed that he hasn't obliterated the whole lot of us, which is certainly what we deserve. Yet God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, as every believer can say, has quickened us together with Christ and saved us by his grace. That is the biblical way to look at what so many foolish people think is an insoluble problem.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Great Revival, which took place in Ulster in 1859, a moving of God's Holy Spirit which saw literally thousands of people swept into the kingdom of God. Five of our Free Presbyterian ministers will deal with various aspects of the revival. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of the Reverend John Wiley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And what is the greatest need of the church today? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Bible centers in Jesus Christ. Revelation 19 and 10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You could actually turn that around and say the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. The spirit of prophecy, the spirit that's in the prophets, testifies of Jesus. This is the majesty of the message. Christ in all His perfection. And I want to tell you, when you come to the Bible, you come to that message. There's only one way that you can explain it. That is that it's the very message of God. You take the accuracy of the statements of the Bible. The Bible has been held up to ridicule on history. The Bible is never wrong. Never wrong. I read an interesting thing recently. I had to laugh at it, mind you. The condescension that was dripping like syrup from the mouths of these people as they were saying. It was actually in the Greenville Piedmont, or the Greenville News, they carried this. The scholars are now learning to pay a lot more attention, would you believe it, to the historical statements of the Bible. Because they had dug up some things out in Israel, and lo and behold, the Bible had been right all along. Big deal. I want to tell you, archaeology is a wonderful science. And every time the spade has dug into Middle Eastern soil, where it touches the Bible, it has always shown the Bible to be right. Archaeology can't prove the Bible. The Bible proves itself. I don't believe the Bible because of what the archaeologist says. I believe what the archaeologist says if it agrees with the Bible. It's as simple as that. The Bible's always right. You know, there was a time when the Bible spoke of Sargon. All the historical scholars said this is myth. There never was such a person as Sargon. Now they've found out there was. We were told that there never was such a person as Belshazzar. That was another biblical invention. Now they've found out that the Bible was right all along. In fact, there's some of the ancient peoples that the Bible mentions, like the Hittites.
And for quite a long time we were told those people never even existed. Now to find out that they did exist, and they have dug up from Mother Earth all the evidence that any man could need as to how they lived and what they did. The Bible's right all along. The Bible's right in history. It's right in chronology. Yes, it's right in science. That's not a teacher of science. But I want to tell you, the physics of Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3 and then Genesis chapter 6, 7 and 8. Those physics are the basis of all proper study into the physical sciences, and anybody who disagrees will never come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible is right when it speaks on science. The accuracy of its statements, the infallibility of its prophecies regarding Israel, regarding Christ, regarding the nations, regarding the end time. You know, in the last century, there was a saying that the Jews were God's clock. And when preachers preached about the Jews regaining their own land and doing so in unbelief, only a mad preacher would say that. They were mocked. They were laughed at. I want to tell you, in 1948, the Jews became the possessors of their own land. And they did so in unbelief. There's no more atheistic nation under the sun than the Jewish people today. They are there. Well, the army is gathering together, as Ezekiel 37 so graphically puts it. Bone is being joined to bone. There is the formation, as it were, of a great army of men. But the breath of God is not in them yet. Oh yes, the prophecies are infallible. Then the credibility of the witnesses. You know, here's the greatest excellence of the Bible. And I'm going to leave out all the witnesses bar one. And that is Jesus Christ. If this is not the Word of God, Jesus Christ is the greatest impostor and the greatest liar and the greatest deceiver that the world has ever seen. And yet the very people who deny the Bible want to hold up Jesus as the greatest example that humanity could ever have. The two things don't fit. See what I mean? If your presupposition is right, your evidence will fit. The credibility of the witnesses. Now, what do they witness to? They witness to miracles. The miracles of Scripture prove that the Bible comes from God. It's as simple as that. Then you take the potency of its influence. Wherever the Bible has gone, there's always been one stream of results. There's been enlightenment. If you want to see what the Bible can do, just have a look at the map of Europe before the Reformation and after the Reformation. Now, the Reformation, in my opinion, was the greatest revival since Pentecost. It was preceded by a renaissance, a revival of learning. But I want to tell you this, that the revival of learning could never have changed the face of Europe. Never. The greatest scholar of the age probably was Erasmus. Erasmus could write very witty criticisms of the Church of Rome. But at the end of the day, he buckled. And it was a very easy matter to take scholars and shut them up. But when God raised a scholar who not only had got a grip of Greek and of Hebrew, but had been gripped by the Bible, when God raised a man who let the Bible loose on Europe, I want to tell you, the face of Europe was changed. And everything, and I emphasize that, everything that's decent that we have in Western life today comes back to this one thing: the influence of the Book of God. And then you take the invincibility of its testimony. Way back before the time of Christ, there was a man called Antiochus Epiphanes. He was going to wipe out the Jews, but he was certainly going to wipe out the Jewish Bible. I would say that except you're a theology student, you never heard of Antiochus Epiphanes. So what? He's gone. The Bible stands. Ever since then, there have been people who have been going to wipe it out. A few generations ago, Voltaire could predict that the Bible would soon be gone forever. Nobody would ever read it. Most people have never heard of Voltaire, never read a word that he said. They're all the better off for that. And the Bible's still the world's bestseller. There was another, Colonel Ingersoll, who thought that the Bible would have such a quick demise that within 10 years there would be 2 theaters for every church. He's also gone. And though many churches are not worth too much for what they say and what they do, nonetheless, his prediction has been proved false, and the Bible still stands. It has been burned, it has been denied, it has been criticized, it has been corrupted. By that I mean people have taken its manuscripts, people have even taken its translations, like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They have done their best to corrupt it, but they cannot ever succeed. That's the unconquerable book. And you can't explain that apart from the fact that it's God's book. I have one final thing to say, and with this we're closed. I've said that the existence of this sword depends on the Spirit. The excellencies of this sword are the product of the Spirit. Can I just remind you of this? That the exercise of this sword is in the hand of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. Now we take it, men take it, but it's God who makes it effective. To change the metaphor, Paul says one sows, another reaps. It's God who gives the increase. This is a two-edged sword. It can wound and it can heal. It can bring you a message of life, or it can give you a sentence of death. It's the sword of the Spirit of God. And the effectiveness of the sword of the Spirit comes not from the brilliance of the preacher, not from the intellectual attainments of the messenger, not from the oratory of the man in the pulpit, but it comes from the person of the Holy Spirit who inspired the book. What do we need in the preaching of the Word of God then? We need the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. Oh, we need to know the book. We need to take the book. But as we take the book, we ought to remember it's the sword of the Spirit we're taking. And as I take this book, it must be my prayer. Blessed Spirit of God, the author of this book, take it and effectually apply it to the hearts, the minds, the souls of men and women. Peter said, we are his witnesses, Christ's witnesses. Acts 5 and 32. We are Christ's witnesses, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So also is the Holy Ghost. God knows that's what we need in our preaching today. That's what we need in our pulpits today. That's what you need in your witnessing. Take the sword of the Spirit. Take it. Know it. You're told in the Bible, read the Bible. Study the Bible. Learn the Bible. Meditate on the Bible. Obey the Bible. Preach the Bible. That's what you're told to do. You're never told to criticize the Bible. You're never told to make yourself lord over the Bible. You're to submit yourself so that you get the Bible in your head and in your heart. And then go out and use it. I give you this example. Do you remember Eleazar, the servant of David? He fought against the enemy until the sword cleaved to his hand. That's how you use the Bible. You start off to get a grip on the Bible, and you get such a grip on the Bible that the Bible gets a grip of you, and then you're fit to use it. and you're not fit to use it until then.
Grip the Scriptures. Pray God that the Scriptures will grip you. Go out and use them.
You may not be a great speaker, but you use God's Word. You just use God's Word, and you can see God use His own Word to bring great fruit. For the effectiveness of this book does not depend on you. The effectiveness of this book depends on Him who wrote it, even the Spirit of God. May God give us the grace to see a second Reformation where the Bible will be let loose in all its pristine purity and power, with the Holy Ghost effectually employing it to bring many to Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.